from New York City, it's the Gary Noll Show. And now, your host, Gary Noll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Nice to have you with us today. Millions of people with metabolic syndrome need a particular nutrient. I'll explain what it is. An article from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition from Oregon State University. Then we'll look at too much sitting, too little exercise may accelerate biological aging, University of California. And then a study finds that 33% of adults recently diagnosed with asthma do not have it, University of Ottawa. What do they have then? And also a major study, meaning multiple studies, was called a meta-analysis, found that sea buckthorn lowers your cholesterol and helps your heart. Also today, we'll explore how protein isolated from baker's yeast shows potential against leukemia cells, University of Sao Paulo in Brazil, and much more on health and healing. From our audio clips today, we're going to finally hear from a German journalist about how much pressure the CIA places upon journalists to tell a pro-American story, no matter what the truth is, he tells us. And then what would happen if you really had a commercial on television for soft drinks that told you the truth about what was in them? Well, we'll play one of those commercials. And then Bernie Sanders has a little short one question for Betsy DeVos at her hearings to be education secretary. And I think you'll find it interesting. A medical doctor speaks out about drinking milk, and Madonna shaves her pubic hairs as a symbol of her resentment against Trump. Really? Well, we'll play that for you clip as well. And we also have some commentaries today. I'm going to look at the Earth as one of my former guests. He was on many times, Buckminster Fuller. He was the one who coined the phrase spaceship Earth. Well, we're running out of something, and no one's talking about it. No one. And it's more important than global warming. I'll explain it and why we may have a lot shorter time left before our societies simply are virtually at extinction levels unless we do something. So we have a lot to share today, plus a commentary on When Fear Comes from Chris Hedges, Truth Dig. Let's begin. And we always begin with the latest on health and healing, because everybody, or at least most people, want to live a longer and healthier life, and we try to help them do exactly that. New research has shown that people with metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetic or diabetic, need significantly more vitamin E, because otherwise they put themselves at risk of a lot of conditions. This was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it made it abundantly clear that we're not getting enough vitamin E. Now, most people never take a supplement with vitamin E. They think they're getting it in their diet. You're not. So simply take 400 units of a mixed tocopherol, and if you have any heart conditions, you may consider 400 in the morning and 400 in the afternoon. But if you're diabetic, overweight, or pre-diabetic, definitely make sure you're getting your vitamin E. We sit too much. We don't get up enough. We don't exercise enough. That's not good. In fact, the older you are, the more active you should be. Now, I remember when I was growing up, I'm sure many of you can recall the same, a person was considered old when they were in their 60s. Middle age was about 35. Today, by the way, based upon for women in particular, middle age is about 37, based upon the current receding age of women. You're dying sooner. So if you're middle age at 37, and you actually start the signs of premature aging, really advanced aging at 27, then imagine if you lived to be 60. Now, a lot of people were told, take it easy. So people sat. They sat, they watched television, they watched soap operas during the daytime. And we always told them, take it easy. You deserve it. Well, just the opposite is true. Those individuals who were active their whole lives could have averaged another 10 years on the life. When I've traveled around the world, and I've traveled a lot, I'm always curious, what does a person do to live a longer life? Now, I haven't met anyone that lived a perfect life at a biological level. There's always something they're doing that wouldn't be in their best interest, like some of the countries in the Middle East, they smoke a great deal. They eat a lot of sugar. In the there's two sides to the Mediterranean. There's the eastern side and there's the western side. The eastern side do not benefit from a longer life. The ones on the west do. They weren't affected by the Cold War as such. They have a lot more leisurely time. They weren't under communist regimes. Spain went through the Civil War, but they have a wonderful diet. Spain, Portugal, Greece, clear up to the France, Italy, but they smoke, a lot of smoking. But on the other hand, you see them very active, extremely active. And the more they're in the country, the more active they are. They just never think of retirement as not doing anything. They're always very busy. In fact, one of the things you'll hear them say, if you ever had the opportunity of visiting the country, is that they're more active now than they were before. In fact, in the English countryside, the first time I visited the English countryside, I was on a research trip to meet the top two nutrition authorities in Great Britain. John Yetkin, who chaired the first chair of nutrition in Europe, and a man named Cleave, who had been a captain, a medical doctor in the Royal Navy. And Cleave lived in the country. And I remember taking these trains, wonderful trains they have, and went out to the country, and then in this small little village, and then out of the village I walked, because they said it was only about a mile. So I walked out there, and here was one of these places. This, when I'm walking up, I'm looking at it, and it was a stone cottage house with stone walls, magnificent lawns and gardens, spectacular flower arrangements. Anyhow, I did the interview with him and I talked about what he called the saccharine disease, which meant we were having too many starches, refined starches and sugars in the diet, not enough complex carbohydrate, not enough fibers. And he was the one who found that when sailors were at sea for too long and they weren't eating fresh fruits and vegetables, they got very constipated and bloated. They had a lot of inflammatory conditions like diverticulitis, but the moment they were at shore for about a week and began to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, that cleared up, their systems cleared up. And he was the first to write about this. In any case, I'm guessing at the time he's in his 80s. And we did the interview outside because he didn't want to stop working. And he was working on a garden. And English gardens are among the most beautiful gardens in the world. And he said, the one thing you learn as you get older is you don't have a lot of time left. In fact, you don't know how much time you have left. It's always this guessing game, he said. Will I wake up tomorrow? Will I live through this day? So I'm going to do what gives me pleasure, gives me joy, gives me happiness, but I'm going to keep active. He said, I've seen too many of my friends who thought that retirement was a time just to do nothing, and now they're dead. And I'm a young guy. I'm in my 20s, and I'm listening to this guy and looking around me and just thinking, wow, this is such a magnificent place. And that stuck in my mind about everywhere I went, in Italy, in the countryside, in France, in the countryside. They get up before dawn, and they work until sunset, and they never stop, but they work at a slow, even pace. Now, think of our society where we're told sit in front of a television, sit in front of a radio, sit in front of a computer, sit by the telephone, and take it easy. And then we see that we're obese and we lack muscles, and we wither and like a prune. So here's the latest from the University of California. And mind you, in the scale of living a longer life, daily exercise, ideally 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes in the early evening, and you could live approximately 10 more years. Quote, researchers, University of California, San Diego School of Medicine report that elderly women who sit for more than 10 hours a day with low physical activity have cells that are biologically older by 8 years compared to women who are less sedentary. This was published in the American Journal of Epidemiology. So you should be exercising 40 minutes a day vigorously, and you should do it every day. And why? Because they say that when you're not exercising regularly, you're sitting too long, you shorten your telomeres. Now, yesterday I talked about the danger of doing anything that shortens our telomeres. And the exercise lengthens the telomeres, those tiny caps found on the ends of the DNA strands, and like the plastic tips of shoelaces that protect chromosomes from deterioration and progressively shorten with age. And as a cell ages, its telomeres naturally shorten and fray, but healthy lifestyle factors and not being obese, not smoking, de-accelerates that whole process. And shortening the telomeres, stress, increases cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and cancers. Quote, our study found cells age faster with a sedentary lifestyle, and you can be 8 years older than what you actually are. So let's get off the couches. Let's not sit in a place for more than 2 hours at a time. Then get up and do some knee bends, some walking, a push-up, some sit-ups. Sitting up quickly for 60 seconds, 4 or 5 times a day, great for you. Strengthens your abdominal muscles, helps prevent hernias, strengthens lower back. It's all good. University of Ottawa Hospital research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that a lot of people, over one-third of people diagnosed with asthma by their physicians did not actually have asthma. And over 90% of these patients were able to stop their asthma medications and remain safely off medications. Quote, it is impossible to say how many of these patients were originally misdiagnosed with asthma and how many have asthma that is no longer active. But we do know that this is important as taking people off the medication. So the takeaway message is this. A lot of times when people think they have asthma, they actually have allergies. Allergies to cats, allergies to dust particles, since people who have carpets generally don't keep the carpets that clean, and people don't realize that you should be cleaning your bed linens, your sheets, every 2 days. Only sleep for 2 nights without cleaning your linens. And then don't clean them with commercial detergents or bleach, because there's outgassing, and that outgassing you're breathing. And that can cause symptoms that mimic asthma but are not. So clean with ecological and natural cleaning materials, and really do a thorough cleaning under your bed, under things, so that all those dust particles don't go in the air, because that can mimic asthma. And then you get on the asthma medications, and that's unhealthy. Also from Zijing University in China, supplementation with C, that's S-E-A, buckthorn, that's B-U-C-K-T-H-O-R-N, could significantly reduce heart disease risk by lowering your cholesterol, lowering triglycerides and other blood lipids. And that's from a whole series of studies. 11 independent randomized controlled trials showed that sea buckthorn is really good. It helps your eyes. It helped, by the way, for a lot of women in this audience, if you're over the age of, let's say, 45, it depends upon the woman. It can be big difference in when this happens. But a lot of women, when they're in premenopause, and premenopause can be in some women for as long as 10 years, what's called perimenopause, you can end up with vaginal dryness. And then menopause, it frequently accelerates, and postmenopause, it can be extreme, where any irritation at all can cause a sense of burning and bleeding. In fact, 90% of the women who were in my menopausal study group for a year, one of the things they stated was vaginal dryness, which, needless to say, prevents a lot of intimacy. So we were able to improve that, and you can reestablish normal vaginal mucosal lubrication so you don't end up with chafing and irritation. And C. buckthorn can help do that. Also, coconut oil can help with that as well. So this is a good study, and C. buckthorn is easily available in most health food stores. And it also lowers your risk of dying of a heart attack. So that's good. And I would take C. buckthorn with green tea because the polyphenolic compounds, such as theoflavin and catechin, which are in these, can really help your cholesterol level. And that is big. If you know anyone who has leukemia, University of Sao Paulo in Brazil found that an enzyme identified as a saccharomyces, commonly known as brewer's or baker's yeast, passed two trials demonstrating its capacity to kill acute lymphoblastic leukemia cells. Now, characterized by malignant alterations in the blood forming stem cells in the bone marrow, you have to be aware it's mainly in children, and this could help them. So that's important. Just something else to add to overall protocols. And for those of you eating a lot of berries, and I hope you are, because boy, do we have the science on our side. This is the latest from Sun Yat-sen University in Taiwan. Berries, we're talking about the full spectrum of berries, blackberries, blueberries, pomegranates, cherries, acai berries, wolf berries, mangosteen berries. They all are good for your heart. But now they figured out why. And the reason they are good for your heart and help prevent heart attacks is because the potential cardiovascular benefits of the anthocyanins, that's anthocyanins, and their ability to influence the expression of chemicals by platelets in the blood. This was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial published in Nutrition and Metabolism, so it deepens our understanding of the heart health benefits of anthocyanins and pigments found in many fruits like black raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, and black currants. And they gave about 320 milligrams per day of these purified in a powder of these anthocyanins. That would be equivalent to about 3 ounces of fresh blueberries or blackberries. And they did it for 24 weeks, nearly half a year. And it significantly reduced in platelet chemokine levels, which correlated lower levels of inflammatory markers in people's cholesterol. So berries, a cup of berries a day, keep a heart attack away. And from another scientific studies, can good fats boost your fitness level? And based upon the studies that were done here, they found that, yes, fish oil, now they didn't test for the vegan form, but it would have showed the same results. Yes, it does help. Overall, if you have the good fats in your diet, and they showed all the different ways they evaluated the results on your brain, on your heart, and it's all positive. And also for women, resveratrol supplements can improve quality of life. And this is from the University of Molise in Italy. Quote, a combination of resveratrol and other nutrients may improve quality of life measures in healthy postmenopausal women. This was a randomized, placebo-controlled study for 12 weeks. They were given 200 milligrams of this fermented soy and then 25 milligrams of resveratrol. Now, I've never suggested 25 milligrams of resveratrol. I start everyone at 100 milligrams and go to 400 milligrams. But one of the things it cleared up was vaginal dryness. So two things to help women today with vaginal dryness, sea buckthorn and resveratrol. And they did this with a low amount. So that's good. And finally, moderate exercise can improve outcomes for patients with metastatic colorectal cancer. This is from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And it, quote, patients with metastatic colorectal cancer may be able to lower the risk of the disease worsening and improve their chances of survival if they engage in moderate daily exercise. So that's good. And this was presented at the American Society of Clinical Oncology's Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium. So we try to give you the latest on health and healing. By the way, the University of Montreal, prolonged exposure to work-related stress is related to certain cancers. Most people are aware that stress in the workplace, stress in personal lives are not good. And my position on that is relatively simple. What do you gain and what do you sacrifice by bringing or having stress in your life? When people create dramas, for whatever the reason, rarely do they see themselves as violating anyone else's health or life or boundaries. More often than not, when people are drama strong, they see themselves as victims and self-righteously project that they're right, you're wrong. And when you see yourself as a victim, then your energy changes. Almost everything you're going to do, say, think, and feel comes from your dark side, the epigenetic. And you can live forever in that space. And coming into anyone's life is like a really bad storm, but you don't always see it. And yet, time and again, when you ask people, why are you in a negative situation, either where you work or you live or relationships, it's always because they're gaining something. So the question is, do you have any idea of what that's costing you on the other end? Why not simply say, I'd rather sacrifice the pleasure of this moment to have the pleasure of living a longer and healthier life? We got it this year, going to this new year. Say goodbye to all those people who bring their drama, their issues into your life. You don't deserve it, and you shouldn't have it. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome you all. I'm Gary Nall, and today we have an opportunity to go into a lot of different issues, and we're going to. And right now, I'm going to play you a few audio clips. We're going to start with a doctor, medical doctor, just not a holistic doctor, just a regular medical doctor who started to do some research on milk and wants you to consider the following. It's short. Please listen.
When you think about it, the purpose of cow's milk, I did most of my growing up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. The purpose of cow's milk is to turn a 65-pound calf into a 400-pound cow as rapidly as possible. Cow's milk is baby calf growth fluid. That's what this stuff is. Everything in that white liquid the hormones, the lipids, the proteins, the sodium, the growth factors, the IGF, all, every one of those is meant to blow that calf up to a great big cow. It wouldn't be there. And whether you pour it on your cereal as a liquid, whether you clot it into yogurt, whether you eat it into cheese, whether you freeze it into ice cream, it's baby calf growth fluid. And women eat it, and it stimulates their tissues, and it gives women breast lumps. It makes the uterus get big, and they get fibroids, and they bleed, and they get hysterectomies, and they need mammograms, and gives guys man boobs. This is, cow's milk is the lactation secretions of a large bovine mammal who just had a baby. It's for baby calves. You know, I tell my patients, go look in the mirror. Do you have big ears? Do you have a tail? Are you a baby calf? If you're not, don't be eating baby calf growth fluid in any level. There's nothing in it people need.
And he's right. Now, Bernie Sanders yesterday had a chance to ask Betsy DeVos about her background. Mind you, this is a woman who has no degrees, none. She never went to public education school. She was born a billionaire and married additional billions. She's never worked a day in her life. She has no teaching background, but she supports, to the tune of her family, over $200 million privatization of her education. It's a business opportunity. So she was asked a basic question from Bernie Sanders.
Would you be so kind as to tell us how much money your family has contributed to the Republican Party over the years?
I wish I could give you that number. I don't know.
I have heard the number was $200 million. Does that sound in the ballpark?
Collectively, between
my entire
family, that's possible.
Okay. My question is, and I don't mean to be rude, but do you think if you were not a multi-billionaire, if your family has not made hundreds of millions of dollars of contributions to the Republican Party, that you would be sitting here today?
Okay. Now, keep in mind, a completely legitimate question. I'm glad he asked it. But Bernie, let's be honest, every single person who is given a position within an administration or an ambassadorship is because they gave a lot of money. They brought a lot of money. And so it's okay. I think it's important that you ask her this because it shows that the only reason she is there, completely unqualified. If a woman's never worked a day in her life and she's in her 60s, 70s, and her first job should be running an entire Department of Education for the whole country, no, we don't start someone at the top in America. It's not the way it works. However, I decided to expand this, and I wanted to see what we could find about some of the other people who are out there and who, let's say Obama, because we're really going to focus on, and should, rightly so, focus upon Trump's cabinet. But no one in the liberal democratic community focused upon Obama's cabinet. We did. Timothy Geithner, Secretary of Treasury. He was the former president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private entity. He worked for Henry Kissinger and Associates. He became a member of the Council on Foreign Relations way back. And he would rotate to private equity firm Warburg Pincus, managing $37 billion in assets. Yeah, millionaire. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. She had no background in that whatsoever. Believe it or not, Hillary Clinton was the wealthiest in Obama's cabinet. And with no background at all, Eric Holder, Attorney General. He went through the circular door in Washington to Covington and Burlington, Wall Street's favorite legal defense firm that represents Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Chase. In fact, an article from Rolling Stone said that Eric Holder was Wall Street's double agent, multimillionaire. And exactly how many major corporate titans in any corporation, from the big banks who were found guilty, pharmaceutical companies found guilty in the munitions industry, found guilty of violating crimes went to jail. How about none? Then you have Jennifer Pritzker, Secretary of Commerce, very important position. She was the founder of PSP Capital Partners, the real estate mogul firm at Pritzker Realty. And regarding one of the most powerful people in Chicago, Forbes listed her as one of the 100 most powerful women in the world. Her wealth was $2.4 billion. So if you're going to talk about one person's billionaire cabinet, be equally concerned about any billionaire in any cabinet who brought nothing that could help them in the position they were. All of these people had made money and protected the interest of the globalist, neoliberalist, hegemony, interest. None of them had ever helped the common person. But I decided to go further. Secretary of State. In fact, Obama went through four different secretaries of defense during his 8 years. And Leon Panetta, multimillionaire. And he was not qualified for the position. William Daley, chief of staff. He was Clinton's Secretary of Commerce. So the Clinton administration and the Obama administration were using the same people, the same oligarchs, the same power base. He had been with J.P. Morgan and Chase. He sat on the boards of Boeing and Merck. He was on the board of Fannie Mae under Clinton. Multi-millionaire. So exactly how is he qualified? Because he was a former mayor of Chicago? No, he had no background in the area. So then you have Mary Shapiro, chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. She had been with Kraft Foods and Duke Energy. She was a director of both. Well, Duke Energy is one of the major polluters in the country. So you bring someone in to oversee Securities and Exchange that is part of Duke. Gary Gensler, head of commodity future trading. Susan Rice, U.S. ambassador. She's worth over $41 million. Jay Johnson, Obama's current Secretary of Defense, $51 million. These are not your average people. But let's not deal there. Let's go back to George Bush's cabinet. You had Dick Cheney as vice president, chair and CEO of the warmongering firm Halliburton. And how much was Cheney worth at that time? Before all this, $186 million. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, CEO of Big Pharma, GD Cereal, as well as CEO of General Instrument, and chairman of Gilead Sciences, a biotech firm, $61 million. And Paul O'Neill, first Secretary of the Treasury, former CEO of Alcoa, $61 million. And Henry Paulson, third Secretary of Treasury after John Snow, and former CEO of Goldman Sachs, and worth $600 million when he became secretary. And he's the one who bailed out Wall Street, but never a single person or a small business. And stop giving all the kudos to General Colin Powell, Secretary of State. When he joined the cabinet, he was a multi-millionaire. And during the interim period between the Pentagon's chief of staff and becoming Secretary of State, he was earning $60,000 appearance, over $6.7 million a year just in lecture fees, and again, sat on the board of a major corporation, American Online. And in Bill Clinton's cabinet, Robert Rubin, Secretary of the Treasury, 26 years at Goldman Sachs, and was later co-chairman. He was then a senior counsel of Citigroup, and now he's worth over $150 million. Larry Summers, third Secretary of Treasury under Clinton, former chief economist for the World Bank, big bad problem there, professor of economics at Harvard, and later university's dean, and he was a hedge manager at D.E. Shaw, and worth a ton of money, and he's the one who, there are two people, Robert Rubin and Larry Summers, worked together with Bill Clinton to destroy the Glass-Steagall Act. That's what allowed all this speculative investment to happen. Bill Richardson, Secretary of Energy, had no experience, but he was a former Citibank executive. And he was with Kissinger and Associates. He was on the board of Valero Energy and Diamond Offshore Drilling. He had no business ever being none of these people, not one single person from any of these presidential candidacies should have been where they were. And if they were. So let's keep that in perspective. So Bernie, good to ask the question, but we should be looking at every single one of the appointments. Show me one single progressive or populist in to run any cabinet in the last 35 years, and you can't find that person. By the way, if you were to drink a soft drink, what's in it? Here's an ad.
Hot out. Need to cool down? Instead of water, might I suggest an ice-cold bottle of candy? We added some water and bubbles to it so you can pretend it's a drink. It's not. It's basically syrup. But my competitors and I have spent decades and billions of dollars to slowly make the general public associate our product with fun, happiness, togetherness, and in some cases, entire holidays, which thankfully happen regularly, forever. Point is, you're probably already on board with the idea of consuming wet sugar with bubbles in it. So I'm not going to spend any more money on this, nor am I going to pay a celebrity millions of dollars to tell you to drink wet sugar with bubbles in it. I don't need to. You love it. Hi. I'm some guy named Roger, and if it's hot out, or you like having friends, or some other virtually universal aspect of life, I think you should buy some Horton brand effervescent liquid candy. But more importantly, buy some for your kids. Of course, if your child goes to public school, we have huge stakes in their lunch programs, so we'll just sell it to them directly and cut you entirely out of the equation. You can even put money in a glass box and get a wide variety of flavors. Caramel dye. If you knew how much sugar a human is supposed to consume in a day, very little, and how much sugar is in one bottle of wet sugar, lots, you probably wouldn't drink it. And we want you to drink it. So we bullied the FDA into letting us straight up not give you that information. But if you're really concerned, we can put the word diet somewhere on the can and replace the piles of natural sugar with chemicals that are so incompatible with human biology that our bodies don't even metabolize them. That's gonna slide right through me. Luckily, we're pretty sure these chemicals don't cause any lasting damage, well, except bladder cancer in laboratory animals and other kinds of cancer in other laboratory animals. But you're a human, so... sweet, sweet acid. Yes, acid is the right word. If I pour a bottle of cool, refreshing, sugary acid onto a car, it will literally strip away the paint. But we don't pour it on cars. We pour it in our mouths, past our teeth, into our tummies. And you'll pay more money than you should for it, even though it costs almost nothing to produce. The container actually...
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if everything that we were actually sold, we had the chance to see the reality of all of it? Well, here's one of those strange situations. With all of our money and all of her success, she's still out there trying to remake herself as a protester. Now, I haven't seen Madonna at any of the protests. I haven't seen her get herself arrested. Maybe that's what she would like us to believe. So she did something symbolic to show she's against Trump.
In order to promote the 1 million women's march against Donald Trump the day after the inauguration in Washington, D.C., Madonna shaved a Nike swoosh into her pubic hair and posted it on Instagram. Now, that's gross for lots of reasons. First, she's a 58-year-old woman posting pictures of her pubic region on Instagram to be shocking. In all her years, with all her life experiences, apparently she has learned no new tricks because she's still using the oldest one in the book. Second, it's a Nike swoosh. It's a corporate logo on her pubes. Madonna's way of protesting Donald Trump, who stands for big business in America, was to put a corporate logo on her pubes. Not like a fist or a symbol of solidarity, but a corporate logo. How stupid is that? What does that even mean, that your pubes have been corporatized? This is how you support women's rights? With a corporate logo on your pubes? That says the opposite of women's rights, doesn't it? Third, it doesn't even look like pubes. It looks like she henna'd the swoosh on. Like she can't even grow pubes anymore, so she globbed on some henna. It looks gross and artificial, which brings me to the real point of this stupid story. Because the whole thing is artificial. Madonna doesn't give a crap about the Women's March or Donald Trump. She gives a crap about Madonna. And all she's trying to do is use Trump mania to get herself some publicity, which is what so many of our stupid celebrities are doing right now. Like Bono, the most self-righteous celebrity in the world. His band U2 has an entire album in the can, ready to release. But Bono, who was just named Woman of the Year by Glamour magazine, mind you, has just decided to not put it out because he says he needs breathing space after Trump's win. He's not even American. And he's not putting the album out, not because of Trump, but because he knows it won't sell in the new era that's about to start. So he's shelving the album so he can do an anniversary tour of his 1987 album Joshua Tree instead, because he knows that will make him more money in the Trump era. It's a total crock, these celebrities coming out to say or do stupid things against Trump. They act like they're outraged, but really all they're trying to do is get some publicity for themselves and be relevant in the Trump era. And people with brains can see that and are grossed out by it. So at the end of the day, these dummies might be trying to promote themselves, but really, they're only just serving to promote Trump himself.
Yeah, good. And I agree. I know some of those people, and I know they're completely phony when it comes to putting themselves at risk. Now, we're going to have a really interesting gentleman on in a moment. He just died this weekend. He was supposed to appear on my program, and I did manage to find his last interview. So it's very relevant to everything going on in the world today. Just want to let people know that today we have something new. We've created the natural flu antidote and helping the body, of course, getting a good night's sleep and a healthy vegan diet, with lots of nuts and seeds, and get rid of the sugars and coffee. Take all the right supplements, D, B, C, coenzyme Q10. But then also we have today immune stuff and Supremacy, strawberry Supremacy, the big 24-ounce size, which should last you a long time. So if you want to get the immune stuff, it's on special, big savings, and you get a whole package. Here's what's in immune stuff, just so you know. We've got the organic maitake mushroom. And just look at the scientific literature. Just Google maitake, M-A-I-T-A-K-E, mushroom. And you'll see why I put it in here as the number one ingredient, meaning more than any other ingredient in here, you're getting the maitake, the most expensive of the mushrooms. Shiitake mushroom is number two. Reishi, these are organic. Reishi mushrooms is number three. And then a mushroom you've never had before, the Agaricus blasi, A-G-A-R-I-C-U-S, last word, B-L-A-Z-E-I. Google it, and you'll say, wow, I didn't know all that scientific literature was out there on that. Then SCI in a 4-to-1 ratio, which is powerful. Strawberries, orange, goji, mango, apple, and stevia extract. So that is one powerful powder. It's delicious, it's nutritious, and it's exactly what we should be doing each day, putting it in with all of our others. So that's that. Now, and I'm sure many of you have had the Supremacy, the 24-ounce Supremacy. It's on sale also as a part of this, and you're getting the right nutrients. You're getting a lot of vitamin C in every single serving, a delicious flavor. So that's what our special is today. It's all about immunity. So how can you get this special on immunity and get more information? Well, it's simple. You'll simply call a number. And let me give you that number. Right now, it's 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And as for the immune special, you're getting the immune, you're getting the supremacy. Plus, I did an audio clip on helping stimulate the immune system. Also, I have a whole lot of articles we put together on vaccines, and we're going to get these over to Robert Kennedy Jr. because if he isn't thrown out of the loop on helping the new administration with an objective and honest vaccine review committee, and you can't bend this guy. He's not going to be corrupted. We want him to have all 41 of our articles and 3 documentaries. I've just finished filming the 4th documentary, the newest one, which will be out in about 3 months, on vaccines. And they're not safe and they're not effective if you look deeply in the scientific literature. Back in a moment for a special presentation. Please stand by.
I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. But seeing right now, within the last months, how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return, and I'm going to stand up and say it is not right what I have done in the past to manipulate people, to make propaganda against Russia, and it is not right what my colleagues do and have done in the past, because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, all over Europe. The reason writing this book was that I'm very fearful of a new war in Europe, and I don't like to have this situation again, because war is never coming from itself. There is always people behind it to push for war, and this is not only politicians, this is journalists too. And I just have written in the book how we have betrayed in the past our readers just to push for war, and because I don't want this anymore. I'm fed up with this propaganda. We live in a banana republic and not in a democratic country where we have press freedom, where we have human rights. If you see the German media, especially my colleagues who day by day write against the Russians, who are in transatlantic organizations and who are supported by the United States to do so, people like me, I became honorary citizen of the state of Oklahoma in the United States. Just why? Just because I write pro-American. I wrote pro-American. I was supported by the Central Intelligence Agency, by the CIA. Why? Because I should be pro-American. I'm fed up with it. I don't want to do it anymore. And so I've just written a book not to earn money. No, it will cause a lot of trouble for me, just to give the people in this country, in Germany, in Europe, and all over the world, just to give them a glimpse of a view what goes up behind the closed doors. Yes, there is many examples for that. If we go just back to history, if you go into the year 1988, if you go to your archives, you will find in March 1988, that there was in Iraq, the Kurdish people have been gassed with poisoned gas. That is known all over the world. But in July 1988, they sent me to a town called Zubaydat, that is on the Iraqi-Iranian border. It was war between the Iranians and the Iraqis, and I was sent there to photograph how the Iranians have been gassed with poisoned gas, with German poisoned gas. You call it Lost and Zarin, mustard gas, made by Germany. They have been gassed, and I was there to make photographs how these people have been killed by poisoned gas from Germany. When I came back to Germany, there was just one small photo in a newspaper, in the Frankfurter Allgemeine, and there was one small article, not writing how impressive, brutally, how unhuman, how terrible it was to kill decades after the end of the Second World War people with German poisoned gas. So this was a situation I feel misused for having been there and just to give a documentary what has been done, but not being allowed to cry out to the world what we have done behind closed doors. Up to today, it's not well known in the public that was German public gas. There have been hundreds or thousands of people gassed in this city of Zubaydat. Now, you ask, what have I done for intelligence agencies? So please see, most of the journalists you see in foreign countries, they claim to be journalists, and they might be journalists, European or American journalists, but many of them, like me in the past, are so-called non-official cover. That's what the Americans call that. I have been a non-official cover. Non-official cover means what? It means you too work for an intelligence agency. You help them if they want you to help them, but they will never, when you are locked, or when they find out that you are not only a journalist but a spy too, they will never say, "Oh, this was one of our guys." They will not know you. That means non-official cover. So I have helped them in several situations, and I feel ashamed for that too now. Like I feel ashamed that I have worked for a very recommended newspaper like the Frankfurter Allgemeine, because I was bribed by billionaires, I was bribed by the Americans not to report exactly the truth, but I just imagined in my car while I was driving to this interview, I just tried to work out in my brain what would have happened if I would have written a pro-Russian article in the Frankfurter Allgemeine. Well, I don't know what would have happened, but we were all educated to write pro-European, pro-American, but please, not pro-Russian. So I'm very sorry for that, but this is not what I understand for democracy and for press freedom. I'm very sorry for that. Well, Yes, I understand your question very well. Germany is still a kind of a colony of the United States. You see that in many points, like the majority of the Germans don't want to have nukes in our country, but we still have American nukes. So we are still a kind of a colony of the Americans. And being a colony, it is very easy to approach young journalists through what is very important here is transatlantic organizations. All journalists from really respected and recommended big German newspapers, magazines, radio stations, TV stations, they are all members or guests of those big transatlantic organizations. And there, in these transatlantic organizations, you are approached to be pro-American. And there is nobody coming to you and saying, "Well, we are the Central Intelligence Agency. Would you like to work for us?" No, this is not the case how it happens. What they do, these transatlantic organizations, is they invite you. They invite you for seeing the United States. They pay for that. They pay all your expenses and everything. So you are bribed. You get more and more corrupt, because they make you good contacts. You won't know that those good contacts are, let's say, non-official, non-official covers, or officially people working for Central Intelligence Agency or other American agencies. So you make friends. You think they are friends, and you cooperate with them. They ask you, well, could you do me this favor? Could you do me that favor? And so your brain more and more is brainwashed through these guys. And your question was, is this only the case with German journalists? No, I think it is especially the case with British journalists, because they have a much closer relationship. It is especially the case with Israelis, of course, with French journalists for a part, not that big as with German or with British journalists. It is the case for Australian journalists, for journalists from New Zealand, from Taiwan, from, well, there is many countries in the Arab world, like Jordan, for example, like Oman, the Sultanate of Oman. There is many countries where this happens, where you find people to claim they are respected journalists, but if you look behind them, you'll find they are puppets on a string of the Central Intelligence Agency. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I'll give you one example. Sometimes the intelligence agencies, they come to your office and want you to write an article. I give you an example, not from strange other journalists, from me myself. I've just forgotten the year. I just remember that the German Foreign Intelligence, Bundesnachrichtendienst, it is just a sister organization of the Central Intelligence Agency. It was founded by the American Intelligence Agency. So one day, the BND, this German Foreign Intelligence Agency, came to my office at the Frankfurter Allgemeine in Frankfurt. And they wanted me to write an article about Libya and about Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. I had absolutely no secret informations regarding Colonel Muammar Gaddafi and Libya. But they gave me all these secret informations, and they just wanted me to sign the article with my name. I did that, but it was an article that was published in the Frankfurt Allgemeine that originally came from the Bundesnachrichtendienst, from the German Foreign Intelligence Agency. So do you really think that this is journalism, intelligence agencies writing articles? Oh yes, that article, I have reprinted it partly in my book. That article was how Libya and Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, how he secretly tried to build a poison gas factory, I think in Rabta was the name, yeah. And I got all those information. It was a story that was printed worldwide 2 days later. But I had no information on that. It was the intelligence agency that wanted me to write this article. So, but this is not the way journalism should work, that intelligence agencies, that they decide what is printed and what not. If I say no, I give you an example from a very good example if you say no. Well, we have a rescue unit in Germany with helicopters for traffic accidents. It's called, they call themselves the Yellow Angels. There was one guy who didn't want to cooperate. He was a pilot of the helicopter service of the Yellow Angels in Germany. This guy said no to the Foreign Intelligence Service, Bundesnachrichtendienst, when they approached him and wanted him as a non-official cover to work for the German Foreign Intelligence Agency, under, just to pretend to be somebody from the Yellow Angels. So what happened was that he lost his job.
And there is an honest journalist telling the truth. All you have to look at is the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, PBS, NPR for the last 6 months. And you'll see nothing but fake news and planted stories. And only once in a while does someone tell the truth. And just before he was to go on tour, he ended up dead this past weekend. I'm Gary Nall. I want to thank you all for listening. Tomorrow, a really dynamic guest, Professor Geoff Heal. He is the David Waite Professor of Social Enterprise at Columbia University's. We're going to talk about how our neglect of nature and biodiversity and land and climate change is threatening our prosperity as we continue under the free market capitalist economic model. Don't miss that. Have a nice day, everyone.